us of how good you are to us. Jesus, it's in your name I pray. Amen. All right. Good morning, guys. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Man, we're going to be wrapping up Ephesians pretty soon. So Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to look at near the end of this passage, of this chapter. We're going to look at Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20, I'm going to read it, and I'm going to pray for us again as we get into the Word. Ask God for His blessings as we get into this. Ephesians, verse 10, it says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of spirit, which is the word of God, praying at all times in the spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all saints, and also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, which I am ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak." Let me pray for us once again for our time here. Jesus, we come to you because you are the Word, and we pray that the Spirit would come in to our hearts and reveal things to us and reveal truths to us. Because as we will see in this passage, the devil, Satan, he wants to lie to us. He wants to deceive us. And I pray that we will be able to see the truths from your Word. That we will be able to see the encouragement from your Word. That we will be able to hold on to the truths and to hold on to the power of your Word. So, God, I do pray for this time. I pray for just a time where we can see you and be changed by your words. So we pray for your blessings upon us, that we may see you and experience you and worship you in this place, that we may lift you up. So Jesus, we thank you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. So a few years ago, I was on this mission trip to, we were in New York for a mission trip. We took a group of youth kids, youth students. And one of the days after dinner, we were in Chinatown. So on the streets of Chinatown, New York, we were just kind of just chilling on the side of the streets. I'm not too sure what we were doing. I think maybe we had just gotten some milk tea and we're just kind of hanging out. And then obviously, we're on the sidewalk. And then, so what happens is, there's these two random stranger boys. They walk by us, and I'm guessing maybe one of the girls makes a comment about the boys, saying like, "Oh, like maybe he's cute or something." I'm not too sure what happened, but what I do remember was one of the other boys in our group. He goes like these two stranger boys. They're like down the block already, and he does this thing where he calls them back, and then so I don't know what he was thinking, but he calls them back. And they walk all the way back to us, and then he goes, "Hey, she thinks you're cute." I'm just like, and then all of a sudden, this girl, the boys are just kind of awkward. They're like, "Oh, okay," and they walk away. But this girl got so embarrassed. Like this is a girl, like, she doesn't, like, really cuss or anything. But out of nowhere, the F-bomb comes out. She's like, "You," and then she's like, and then, like, she gets so mad. And all the boys are just like, whoa. And then that one boy's like, and then like, so we were just standing there, like kind of awkward. We didn't know what to do. Did this boy just get burned? Or I don't know. Like, it was just really weird, right? And then this girl, she was just so mad. And then, you know, like we had to walk back to our place, the church that we're staying at. So it was like an awkward 15-minute walk back. The boys are just like, oh, you done did it. And then the boys are all like, oh, you should apologize. And the girl's like, no, she doesn't want to talk to anyone. And we get back to our church that we're staying at. And the girl, she's just off somewhere. We don't even know where she is. And I don't know what happened. So at this point, I'm chalking it up to this boy was an idiot. Like, he shouldn't have done that. He was stupid, right? At this point, I'm just like, okay, you just need to, like, make it up to her. Or, like, just, like, I don't know. And all of a sudden, I find out, like, this girl, she's, like, on the roof of the building. She's, like, crying in the stairwell or, like, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, we hear that she doesn't, you know, we're trying to talk to her. She doesn't want to talk to any of the boys. Like, all boys are stupid because of that one comment, right? And all boys are stupid. And so, not just kidding, some of them. But then it's just like she didn't want to talk to anyone. Like, he wanted to apologize. She's like, I don't want to talk to them. And then so she just starts crying out of nowhere. I'm just like, oh, what is going on here, right? Like, I don't know how to console a crying girl. And then all of a sudden, I'm just like, what happens is, I think we had like 2-3 other girls on the trip, and then they start crying too. I'm just like, why? Why are you crying? There's no reason for you to cry. I'm just like, man. And then at this point, I'm just like, what is going on? And like, none of the girls want to talk to the boys. And just like, and then there's no resolution. I'm trying to talk to them, but they're not really listening. And at that point, I'm just like, man, what is going on here? Is Satan trying to attack us? I'm like, because I start off with, this boy's just stupid, right? He shouldn't have said anything. He just did something. He just made a bad decision. But then it kind of escalated. And I'm just like, I don't know. Sometimes it's really hard to discern, like, is Satan attacking us or is it just our stupidity, right? Is Satan really going after us or is it just an accident, right? And I think spiritual warfare is really, you know, like, what do we do? What do we do about that? Like, it's hard to discern, right? Like, at D Camp last week, we had, it was like the last night, I had these two, there's these two kids, they were dealing with OCD, and they just wanted to go home. And this kid was like, oh, I feel like, you know, I just feel insecure. And so they were just like, I want to go home and call my parents. I'm like, okay, I'm going to call my dad. And then all of a sudden, I deal with that problem. The parents are on the way. And then I hear, oh, there's this kid who cut his hand. And we're just like, what are you talking about? This kid is like, oh, this kid brought a knife. I'm like, what? We're not supposed to bring knives. And then he cut his hand. And then we're trying to figure out, should he not go to the hospital, the ER. And then, so we're trying to get in touch with his parents, and I'm like, I called like the parents like 30 times. I probably shouldn't have, but I couldn't get in touch with them, and they finally get in touch. Like, you know, you can come back, and you can come pick him up if you want. And as we're dealing with that, another boy walks in with a scraped toe. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, one thing after another. I'm like, so is this just a kid who, you know, clumsy middle schoolers running around, or is this like Satan coming at us, right? Like, is there something, you know, going on? Like, you know, same thing happened in Impact. One of our older guys, like he's like 30 something. He doesn't know how to walk or something. Like, he walked and sprained his ankle. Like, okay. And then another counselor, like, he got sick that day. And then another counselor was like dealing with, he has deals with seizures, and he was like maybe on the brink of that. So we're just like, man, all these things going on left and right. I'm like, does this ever end? And I'm just like, I guess at that point, I'm just like, yeah, we're being attacked. But sometimes, is it just our, you know, our own stupidity? Or is it just we forgot something? We forgot our phone and we lost our phone somewhere. You know, like we forgot our keys and it's just us forgetting something. And we kind of go, oh, no, Satan's attacking us, right? It's hard to discern what is or what is not spiritual warfare if Satan's attacking us. And that's kind of what Paul is talking about here in this passage. He's like, you know what he wants us to know is, look, whatever is going on, wherever you are, you have to see that there is a spiritual warfare going on. Because I don't think the problem with us is, the problem isn't trying to discern whether or not, Satan is attacking us or not. But I think the problem, really understand and walk away is that we're in spiritual warfare now. We're in a war right now. We're in the war zone right now. And that's what Paul wants to get across to his readers, to his audience, is that you have to understand that we are in the war zone right now. Because if you think about it, right, when are the only times you really ever think about or when we mention, there's spiritual warfare going on? It's usually maybe the week before camp or maybe like the eve of a mission trip, right? It was like, oh man, like I'm trying to get ready for this mission trip and things are happening and Satan is strong and he's starting to attack us. Like those are the only times when maybe we do something special for church when we go, hey, there's spiritual warfare going on in this place, or, you know, he's starting to attack us because we're doing something special for Jesus. But the reality is, no, when right now in this place, we're dealing with maybe some of the lies. Maybe this morning when you got up, you were dealing with the spiritual warfare, right? It's just like, should I or should I not? Should I wake up and read the Bible or should I wake up and look at Facebook? I mean, that may not be a big spiritual warfare. I mean, it may not be a big attack on Satan, but that is something that pulls you away from Christ. And so what you need to see and what Paul wants us to see is, yeah, we're in a war right now. And so what we're going to see from here, we're going to ask three questions to help us kind of figure out what Paul is saying. Is the first question that we have to see and figure out is, who are we fighting with? Or who is fighting with us, along with us on our side? The second question that we're going to ask is, who are we fighting? Who is our enemy? And what is he after, specifically? And the last question that we're going to look at is, what do we fight with? And how are we going to go into battle? And so the first thing that we have to see here is, who are we fighting with? Or who's fighting along with us? So let's look at this in chapter 6, verse 1, he says this. He says, finally be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. See, so you see, look at this. In this first verse, he goes, be strong in the Lord in the strength of his might. And so what he's trying to say is, you're not fighting alone in this battle. In this war, you are not alone. But rather, he's saying, yeah, you're fighting with God. God is with you as you are fighting. And so what Paul wants you to see is not, okay, yeah, we're fighting with God. God is, fighting with us. But the big thing is here, what he's trying to point at in this passage, if you look at this, right, if you kind of look ahead a little bit, he kind of goes, he goes, put on the armor of God, right? And he goes, fasten on the belt of truth and having the breastplate of righteousness and having the readiness given by the gospel of peace. That's for your shoes. And he's talking about the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. And so what Paul here is trying to say, he's kind of, when he uses those words and when he's using these phrases, he's alluding back to the Old Testament. More specifically, he's alluding back to Isaiah. In Isaiah 59:17, you'll hear the same words. Isaiah 59:17, he says, put on righteousness as a breastplate and the helmet of salvation on his head. Isaiah 52, he says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings the good news, who publishes peace, who brings the news of happiness, right? Who publishes salvation, right? And so in Isaiah 11:5, he says, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist and faithfulness of his loins. And so what Paul is saying here, as God is standing behind us, as God is standing with us as we fight, he is trying to point back to the God of salvation. He's trying to point his audience back to, hey, look at God. Who is the one who came and fought for you? God is the one who has conquered your enemies for you already. look towards your past. Look at what he's done already. And that's what he's wanting to do. He's trying to point them back to a God who saved the people. He's trying to point them back to a God, yeah, this God who fights for you is a God who fights and defeats sin, and who is a God who kind of takes them out of judgment, who saves them from judgment. And so that's what Paul is trying to get here. This God isn't only just a random God, but rather this is the God of salvation. And that's what he wants them to see here in this passage. Right? And so if we know that God is on our side, Paul says in Romans, if God is for us, then who can be against us? Like that should be our mentality. As we go into battle, as we fight this fight, we go, God is for us. And if God's on our side, who can go against us? Who can be stronger than him? Right? That's kind of like when Jesus says, you know, at the end of Matthew, right before giving the Great Commission, he goes, hey, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Right? All authority in heaven and earth has been given to Jesus. So if all authority is Jesus, whatever Jesus says will happen. Whatever Jesus desires will happen. So that's kind of the same idea, is whatever God wants and whatever God does, and when the power of God is with us, who can stand against us? There's nothing that can. So that's kind of what he starts off with. Right? I think we have to build a foundation. And what Paul tries to do here is he tries to build this foundation of you got to understand who is standing alongside you first. He doesn't bring a problem with you. He doesn't bring the problem first. He doesn't go, hey, you know what? You're going against the devil. And so because you're going against the devil, God's with you. Don't worry. But rather what he's here trying to say is, look. What you have to understand first is you're fighting alongside with God. He is there with you. So stand in his might. So you have to understand who God is in this. You have to understand. And so that's what he's wanting you to see. This God of salvation is with you. Because then, if we understand who is fighting alongside with us, then it makes it a little better when we find out who we're fighting against. And so if we look at this, right, if we look at this in this passage, because in verse 14 it says, stand therefore having, in verse 12, go back to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, and that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of the heavenly places. And what we have to see here is who we're fighting against, and it is namely the devil. And we see this, and he is the enemy, right? And so it is against the devil and his schemes, right? And so Paul just finished talking about, you know, having this, you know, maybe dysfunctional relationships. He just finished talking about that, right? He talked about the husbands and wives. And he talks about parents and children and masters and slaves, right? He kind of talked about that. And maybe in this place we kind of feel those tensions with, maybe if you're a youth in here, maybe the first thought when I bring up, you know, the image of your parents, you're like, man, I really do not like my parents. I really hate them. They're so annoying. They're always getting on me about my grades. They're always putting pressure on me. They're always doing this. And maybe some of us as parents, we're just like, man, this my child is such a disappointment. And so there's tension between our parent and child relationships. It's clearly seen. But what Paul here is trying to say is, no, your battle is not between you and your child or you and your parent. Your parents are not your enemies. But rather, if anything, the enemy is getting between, is getting under your skin so that to make you think that your mom and dad is your enemy. And he's winning because he's making you hate them, and he's led you to hate them, and he's winning this battle. So the battle, our enemy is not anything that we see, but rather our enemy is Satan himself, is the devil, if we look at this, right? So what is the purpose? And one other question we have to ask is, what is the purpose? And what are the schemes of the devil? What is he trying to do? Because it's easy to see, yeah, the devil and Satan is trying to get at us. But what is he trying to do? How do we discern what is spiritual warfare? But what he's trying to do here is he's trying to deceive you. He's trying to deceive you of the gospel of the gospel's work in you and through you. Because if you remember, right, we've been talking about this, all of Ephesians, the whole first part of Ephesians was about the gospel, of who you are in Christ, of how Christ has come and saved you, of what Christ has done in you. Right? If we look back to chapter 1, we remember what he's done for us. So the first part is the gospel. If you remember the second part, though, if the first part's about the gospel, then the second part is about gospel living. It's about living according to the gospel. It's about a life that is reflects the gospel. It is about what we talk about. It's about taking off the old self and now putting on the new self. Right? It's about living this new life that we have been given. And so what Satan is trying to do for you is he's trying to disrupt that. He's trying to deceive you of the truths of the gospel. He's trying to deceive you of trying to pull you away from living this new life. And we'll see how this kind of plays out as we go on and as we kind of describe each part of the armor. So he's trying to disrupt what the gospel does. As we talked about in Ephesians, we talked about Ephesians, how it creates unity in us. It creates a unity among us. We kind of just celebrated, right? Right? Pastor Wade just talked about that, how the walls of hostility have been broken down. Well, the Satan is here to build them back up. And so we see that we have quarrels here. We have dissension and we have division here in our church. Maybe not in the English congregation, but we can see it in the Chinese congregation. Maybe there's some here too. I'm not pointing fingers, but I'm trying to let you see, hey, this is the work of the devil. He's trying to disrupt and deceive you of the works of the gospel. And you see that, the quarrels between you and your wife, or you and your husband. You see the hate between you and your parents. So he's trying to deceive and disrupt the work of the gospel. And that's kind of why we kind of talk about, before a mission trip, yeah, he's attacking us. He doesn't want the work of the gospel to happen. So a few ways that we kind of see this happen is, well, how he tries to deceive us and how he disrupts the gospel is, what he deceives us with is, he tries to get us to, he challenges our allegiance to Christ. And so what Satan does is he goes, the sin is better. The world is better. Right? What he deceives you with is the world can promise you so much more. He deceives you with, that image on the screen, that is so much better. That success that you've been looking for, that's so much better. What your security in your bank account, that's so much better than the security I can give you. And so what he says and what Satan tries to do is he goes after your allegiance of Christ. He makes you seek other things. Or maybe another way that he tries to deceive you and his schemes, the purpose of his schemes are he challenges your faith in Christ. More specifically, he challenges you and who you believe he is. Make you believe that Christ is weak and he's not good enough. Or maybe you believe that God is not present for you in your suffering. Maybe you believe that he is not good to you. Maybe he disrupts the last. Another thing that he does is he challenges and disrupts your closeness with Christ. And he kind of pulls you away. So what do we do? What do we do with these things that the devil is going to come after us with? What do we fight with? And so that's the last thing is Paul begins to kind of talk about these things. He goes, what do we fight with? Well, you fight with the armor of God. And the first thing that he mentions is the belt of truth. In verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having fastened the belt of truth. What you have to understand is this. This is the first thing that you have to understand. Because if you don't understand this, then everything else will fall apart. And so the Ephesians is full of truths about you. Ephesians is full of things that he's done in you. If we go back to chapter 1, we look at it, we can see what he's done. We go back to chapter 2, we can see that we're saved by grace. If you go back to chapter 1, you see, hey, you're sons and daughters, you're heirs of God, and you have all these blessings through Christ and because of Christ. And so if we see these things about us, how we've been saved by grace, not by our works, not by anything that we have done, but because of our sin, we're dead in them. These are truths about us. And so what we have to see is that what God has done through Christ in you. Because if you're able to see the truth that what God has done in Christ, then you'll be able to shoot down the devil's lies. Because what? The devil is all about, hey, seek after sin. Pursue after sin. Pursue what the world can offer because that is better. Because what you desire in a heart is better. Seek after the lust of this world. Seek after the fame and riches of the world because that is better. That is what's going to be sad. That is what's going to satisfy you. But if we believe the truth of what we have an inheritance in Christ. If we believe that, then we believe that we have everything that we need. We have everything that we have is better. Everything that we have received because of Christ is better. So to put on the belt of truth means to be strengthened by God's truth and the gospel and to resolve to live in this truth. And we see this play out again and even more as he talks about the breastplate, the breastplate of righteousness. And we see this play out again. And so we talk about this righteousness. We see on the cross that are on the cross, our sins, everything that you've done wicked was placed onto Christ. And I've talked about this before, and I'll talk about it again over and over again. And our sins placed on the cross of Christ. And he took our punishment, he took our sin. But at the same time, there was an exchange that was made. Our sins were placed onto Christ, but at the same time, Christ's perfect righteousness, Christ's perfect life was placed onto you now. So do you understand that when God sees you, he doesn't see your dirtiness, but he sees Christ. So when your acceptance before God isn't done by your works, but is done by Christ's works and what he's done. Because what? Because the lies of the devil will tell you you're not good enough. Think about it. The lies and the deception of the devil say, you're so sinful. How could God love you and you're mouthing off at your children? How could God love you when you're not loving your wife? How could God love you when you're not loving others? How could God love you when you cheated on your test? How could God love you when you're just not that good? And so Satan and his lies begin to tell you all these things about yourself and how you're not good enough. And how he throws upon these things on you and he shames you. Think about that guilt that Satan pours onto you. Because if you do not see this righteousness that we have in Christ, you're just going to try and try to work yourself up to get closer with God, and you can't do that. So you have to remember, the gospel says, look, you have the righteousness of Christ. It is in that righteousness you have forgiveness. You have freedom. And so we can go at Satan's lies if we have these truths, if we hold on to these truths. Because the next thing he says is to put on the shoes, and as you have shoes, you have the readiness of given by the gospel of peace. So you have the belt, you have the breastplate, but to fully understand the gospel, you have to understand the gospel and what it has done to you and what it has done for you. So at the same time, what he says here is, look, to be ready in the gospel. To be ready to, so what this means is, yeah, to be ready to preach the gospel to yourself daily. To tell yourself, to remind yourself of the truths daily. To remind yourself of the truths, the first thing that you wake up to remember that you are forgiven. That even though you, for the past month, you run away from God, you're not too far from Him. for the past year, you've gone away from God. You haven't really sought after Him. You haven't really read your Bible, but you're still not too far away from Him because of the gospel, because of these things. And this is what you have to remind yourself of. You have to remind yourself that God loves you, and He gave His Son up for you. So it doesn't matter about what you do to get your way back to Him, but it's about what Christ has done. Because how are we going to preach the gospel to others? And usually in this image, we talk about preaching the gospel to others, but how are we going to preach the gospel to others if we don't preach the gospel to ourselves first? And so that's what He wants you to see. To preach, to understand the gospel truth, to know the gospel, to know what it's done for you, and to remind yourself of that. And if you remind yourself of that, if you stand on the truth of the gospel, then Satan and his lies cannot come at you. And so that's kind of the last three things. I kind of bundle them together. You'll see the last three are things that Paul is trying to reassure his readers. He's trying to reassure his readers, his audience, of their faith and their salvation. So if you look at it, he talks about the shield, and he talks about the helmet of salvation, and he talks about the sword of the Spirit, or the Word of God. Right? And when he talks about the shield, it's not like the size of Captain America's shield, where it's kind of like this big. It's not even like the size of the 300 shield. Like maybe it's a little bigger than Captain America's, but rather this shield is the size of a door. And that's what he's trying to get at. He's trying to look, like if you have the size of, if you have the shield the size of a door, there's nothing that's going to get past it. And one of the books talks about how they would dip these shields in water so it would be kind of moist. So if attackers did come with flaming arrows, it wouldn't matter. And so this idea of this shield, that you have this shield, it protects your whole body. There is nothing that Satan can do that will come against you. There's nothing Satan can do or say to you that can come against you and go after and disrupt the gospel in your life. And so he's trying to remind his readers of the salvation that God has given them. And that's why he kind of uses the idea of the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. He's trying to remind them, point them back again to how God has saved them. He's going back to Old Testament. He's going back to the idea that God has saved His people. And if God has saved you, you're safe in His salvation. So we have to see. Remember, we have to see that we're not fighting this battle alone. We're not fighting alone. So this is the last thing that Paul says here. Because we're not fighting alone, because we have these truths to hold on to, he says to stay in prayer. And that's the last thing that we have to see, to stay in prayer. And so we stand in the might of the Lord. As Christians, we must stand against the devil and stand firm on and in the gospel. We must hold on to the truths that he's given us, to hold on to the truths of what he's done in us. As Christians, we must stand firm to live out these truths. We must, as Christians, we must live and to proclaim these truths of the gospel. Because that's what Satan is trying to do. He's trying to go to get you to fall from the gospel, to help to make you shift away from the gospel, to make you to get you to a place where you don't proclaim the gospel. But God will not let that happen. God will not leave you alone in this fight. He's not going to leave you by yourself. God's arms are not too short to save, but rather what we see through His salvation, but that His arms are long enough to go around anything that you have. His arms are long enough, His reach is long enough to save you from anything that you're in. And we see that through His Son, Jesus Christ, how He's taken care of all of your sins. So we must stand firm and stand true. Stand firm to the end on the truth that Jesus Christ has done everything that you need to do to gain your acceptance with God, to come before God, so that you can stand on that truth of the gospel. Let's pray. God, we come before you, and I know there was a lot that was said, and a lot that was not said from this passage. but we go out into this world fighting for the gospel, fighting for the truths of the gospel, fighting to proclaim, fighting to live out the truths of the gospel. I pray that you would help us. Pray that you would help us to as you say, to stand firm in God, stand firm in you.